Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
Well, he's just 23 years old, but he's managed to found a national movement that is helping young people around the world. Hugh Evans has been named Young Victorian of the Year in 2003, Young Australian of the Year in 2004, Junior Chamber International Young Person of the World 2005, who knows what he got last year or this year already. He's director of the Oak Tree Foundation and one of the figures behind the Make Poverty History campaign in Australia. Hugh Evans, I'm exhausted after reading that.
Good evening, how are you?
Nice to have you on Open House.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
Well, I tell you, with that kind of resume, all of us are shaking in our boots now.
No, not in the slightest.
Hey, do you still live at home?
No, I've moved out of home. I moved out a couple of years ago once I got back from Africa, actually.
Did you?
In 2002. So I live close to our office in Melbourne.
Okay, yeah. You would have been a handful for your parents, I'm sure. I believe that by your late teens, you'd already spent time in the Philippines, India and South Africa. I'm really interested in the way that people develop over time, particularly during your teenage years. Now, how did all that come about?
Well, my journey, I guess, towards a deeper understanding of issues of poverty and justice began when I was about 12 years old. I was doing the 40-hour famine at school, actually, and one day our school became the highest fundraising school in the country, and I was given the opportunity as a 14-year-old to go and spend some time in the Philippines with World Vision to see their work firsthand. And there was really one night in the Philippines that really impacted my life to such a great extent that I've never been the same since. This night we were taken onto a slum which you may have heard of. It's a slum called Smoky Mountain in the center of Manila. Right. And this slum is built on top of a garbage dump where the very infrastructure of this community revolves around scavenging. And that night, World Vision, they placed me in the care of this guy my own age. His name was Sunny Boy. He'd lived his whole life on this slum, and where I was, I'd come from, you know, Melbourne, and I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. That night when we ultimately went to sleep, I remember he cleared away the pots and pans on the ground and we lay down on this concrete slab the size of half of my bedroom. And I'll never ever forget lying there that night with myself and Sunny Boy and the rest of his family, seven of us in this long line with cockroaches crawling all over us and this smell of rubbish because we're lying on top of a garbage dump. And it was that experience that really impacted my life so profoundly, and I thought I have to come back and do something. And so that's really was the, I guess, the catalyst for everything that led on from there.
And what did you come back to do? I mean, you had to do something, but where did the first idea come that you would start to gather other young people around you to do something?
Well, it was a slow journey. Like when I was 15, I went to live in India for a year. I worked with Mother Teresa's orphanage in the projects in the slums of Delhi, and spent some time also studying year 11. Over in India. I came back and did my final year of high school, year 12, and did some work over with the United Nations over in The Hague in the Netherlands. But it wasn't until 2003, really, when I was 19 years old. I'd spent a year living in South Africa in a region called KwaNgolosi, which is a Zulu community in the heart of South Africa, that we developed the idea for Oak Tree. Because in this region, I was living at an HIV/AIDS orphanage for about 100 children orphaned by AIDS and violence in the region, and they had the highest incidence of HIV/AIDS of anywhere in the world. It was in the community I was living in, one in three people were infected with HIV/AIDS, and as Nelson Mandela once said, he said, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world. And we saw again and again how education was changing people's lives. It was giving them new hope and new opportunities. And so we thought, why couldn't we start an organization entirely driven by young Australians working towards empowering young people in the developing world through education in a way that is sustainable? And that was really how the vision for Oak Tree began some nearly 5 years ago now.
Mm. Now, that's a lot for a teenager to actually experience. I mean, I've seen some of the things you're talking about. I've actually been to Mother Teresa's orphanage as well, and some of the poverty I've seen in Philippines and elsewhere. But, you know, I'm in my mid-30s. When you're experiencing that as a teenager, did you not at some stage feel just overwhelmed?
Yeah, I certainly felt that. Like, I think I felt that twice really strongly. Once when I was 15, and I went to live in India, it finally dawned on me once I jumped on the aeroplane what we were getting ourselves into. And I still remember I sat next to this complete stranger. My parents had said goodbye to me at the Melbourne airport, and I sat next to this complete stranger. I looked him in the eyes and I burst into tears. I was so scared about the experience, and it really, really brought home to me at that age. I think also, I guess the second time where it really shocked me was just 2 years ago now, when we were we responded to the tsunami in Banda Aceh. And so myself and a team of Oak Tree volunteers worked with the Red Cross and a couple of other Australian organisations to actually develop a relief effort for and establish a refugee community inside inside Banda Aceh. And I remember driving from Medan in the east of Banda Aceh. I was in the front of the car with the driver next to me. We had tons and tons of aid supplies behind us. And I remember just driving into Banda Aceh, and the guy pointed to his right. He said, "Hugh, look over there." And he said, "That's where 1,000 people were buried yesterday." And at that point in time, it just all hit me so hard. And I thought, boy, you know, this work is just so overwhelming.
Yeah. Hugh Evans is our guest on Open House. He's the director of the Oak Tree Foundation, one of the main men behind Make Poverty History here in Australia. And the guy who's looking after the Make Poverty History 07 road trip, which we'll talk about in a second as well. How many volunteers have you got now?
We have 8,000 people
8,000
involved with Oak Tree and probably about 500 very active volunteers working most days of the week. And we last year when we ran the Make Poverty History concert in Melbourne, we signed on about 50,000 people in the course of 2 weeks. So it was really quite amazing to see. And there's obviously, as you know, there's about 1 million people across the country who've worn the Make Poverty History white armband. It's been quite amazing to see how such a small dream has grown in the last number of years.
Absolutely. Now, tell us about your faith, because your Christian faith actually has a major part to play in your motivation for doing these things, doesn't it?
Very much so, yeah. Like, I became a Christian when I was 13 years old. It was a journey that started when I was at a camp, actually, in Melbourne called Mill Valley Ranch. And through learning about, I guess, God's grace and his amazing plans for our lives, I really grew in faith. And being a man of faith, I think you've got to, it enables you to, also it keeps you grounded, because I think that God, when you realize how small you are compared to the almighty majesty of God, then you realize that ultimately, you know, there's no room for pride in this world.
Yeah, good point.
I think the second thing I think that it's also is that when you're working hard like we're trying to do, sometimes you get very tired. And I think that, secondly, I'm always reminded of this the verse where it says, you know, if you wait on the Lord, he'll renew your strength. You know, you can walk and not grow weary, you can run and not faint, you know. And so those verses that have been constant encouragement to me over the last number of years and really, really strengthened my faith.
Yes. And does the life of Jesus in any way provide a model for you with what you do?
Well, Jesus was arguably the most significant leader that the world's ever known, but he's also did it in a way that was completely unexpected. I often note in the world that there aren't too many examples of truly humble leaders in this world. You know, there's loads of bosses, there's loads of people who will tell you what to do, but there aren't many people who will show you what to do. And I think that the thing about Jesus is that he actually shows people what to do by doing it himself first. In washing the disciples' feet, he set the most profound example for humanity to follow. It's not like he thrust that upon someone and said, you know, how quickly can you do that? Or do it, go here, do this, sit down, shut up. He actually led by example in a profound way. And I think it's that example that certainly serves as the most powerful example I can see.
Yeah. Well, you may be young and you may have achieved some wonderful things already, but I believe you've also had some loss in your life as well. A girlfriend who was murdered and a stepbrother who committed suicide. Must have had some, well, did it have in any way a formative influence on you as far as what you do today?
Well, I think the tragedy is in our society, we have, as you know, one of the highest rates of youth suicide of anywhere in the world. And that shouldn't be the case, you know, like young people are born with great potential and have great opportunities in life. And I think when, as you say, when my stepbrother took his life at the age of 17, it was just the most horrific thing to experience. You know, I just thought, man, here's this guy, he just has so much potential, you know, it's just not right. And I think that from that experience, I mean, experiencing it firsthand and coming to terms with the fact that he took his life, it kind of forced me to grapple with why, how fragile life is, but also why would a young person ever feel that their life isn't worth living? And I think that I hope that the work that we do at Oak Tree does not just have a massive impact in the lives of young people in the developing world, but also provides young people in Australia with an avenue through which they can respond, an avenue through which they can find meaning. I've seen hundreds of young leaders come through Oak Tree who, before they were in our organisation, they might have said to themselves, well, you know, I don't feel like I have much purpose in life. I just go through uni, I just go through the routine. I don't really know what it's all about. But then they've realized they might have a skill in media or communications or marketing or any kind of skill, and they put it into work within the context of our foundation, and amazing things happen. There was a young girl, Olivia Bryan, who a few years ago, she started working in our media team, and then she went over to work with us in Africa, and now she actually brought out to Australia over the last few weeks a Zulu choir from Africa and used her skills in from music through to PR through to marketing. She just put all her skills into work, and it's just like there's hundreds of examples of young men and women like her who are out there making a significant impact, and I just hope that's what we can do through the work of Oak Tree now and in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Our culture tends to tell us and give us the message that if you want to find meaning and purpose, look within, consume, buy another trinket, do some sort of personal growth seminar, and I think you've cottoned on to the lesson, the great lesson, that is, if you want to find meaning and purpose in life, firstly, I mean, obviously there's the divine element to find out the God who actually created you, but secondly, to actually be a part of something that actually is giving back to the world. And I think of Abraham Maslow, one of the very well-known psychologists, and he said, without exception, I have found that anybody who is truly alive have devoted themselves to a purpose or a cause beyond themselves. And I think that's what you've cottoned onto there with those young people. Now, you're going to be very, very busy over the next 7 days, because today the Make Poverty History 07 road trip hit the roads.
That's right, yeah. So what's happening is, as of today, there's going to be some 700 young people across the country who will be jumping on the road to spread the message of Make Poverty History in strategic areas right across the country. So these young people will be out there campaigning, spreading the message, but also really encouraging the Australian government to commit to a target of 0.7% of GNI in foreign aid. Because what happened is that in the year 2000, all the world leaders met together at the United Nations and they agreed upon a plan to halve extreme poverty by the year 2015 called the Millennium Development Goals. And part of this plan talks about this goal, Goal 8, called a Global Partnership for Development, talking about more and better aid, fairer trade relations, debt relief, climate change action, and ultimately promoting good governance in the developing world. As you're probably well aware, we have half of the world's poor in the Asian region right on our doorstep, and there's a significant moral, but also even if you only do it out of self-interest, there's a big responsibility to serve those who are desperately in need.
Yes, absolutely. 07.org, and that's with the numbers spelt out, 07.org. And Hugh, what is the website for Oak Tree?
Well, if you want to become a volunteer, you can go to theoaktree.org. It's theoaktree.org, or if you want to type Oak Tree in Google, we come up number one. So.
Okay. Hugh, really looking forward to what happens over the next 7 days, but maybe over the next 7 years, just to see what God's going to use you to do. It's been great to talk to you tonight, and look forward to catching up in the future.
Thank you so much for your encouragement. Great chatting with you as well.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.